this afternoon, we ask that you would pray for us and pray for the word to be anointed of his spirit. In the last few weeks, we've been trying to convey the love of God. And there have been scriptures that have been given concerning the love of God. And there have been many words that have been spoken trying to describe the love of God. Words like everlasting, unending, eternal, infinite, boundless, divine, unchanging, faithful, steadfast. All of those are words that you have heard spoken in the last few weeks concerning the love of God. And yet, in spite of those words, and in spite of the scriptures, we still feel that we have been very shallow in trying to convey the love of God. The scripture says, and this is just part of a verse, it says, the love of God has been shed abroad in us. And when we stop and think of how the love of God has been shed abroad in us, we know that it is because of the gift of his only son, and it has been through his death and his resurrection, and it has been by Jesus Christ, and I'm going to say even at this very moment, he is interceding for you and me. And what a blessed thought that is. One scripture even speaks about our names are written on the palm of his hand, and that he will not forget us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. But for us to think about Jesus interceding for us, that is part of the love of God. He is praying for you and me. And it is a prayer that is an eternal prayer. He is desiring that we be of that number, that no man would perish, but that we would all come to repentance. Thank the Lord. So all of this that I have spoken so far, and much, much more, we're trying still to convey the great love of God. We have a great privilege of receiving, of knowing and experiencing this perfect love, because the love of God is perfect. There are no flaws. There is nothing in the love of God that the promise will never be broken. So there is not any other love that is above the love of God. So we want to speak for a little bit concerning separating or separation from the love of God. I want to ask this question. Can we be separated from the love of God? Well, there are various ideas of this, various interpretations. One is because God's love is eternal or unconditional, because it is unchangeable and forever the same. In that sense, God's love will always be extended to mankind. We know the scripture, and this one has probably been given during this series of messages. His arms are outstretched still, and that represents the love of God that is being extended even today to all the world, to all of mankind. But for those that receive and experience the wonderful love of God, who have tasted of his redeeming love, for those who have walked in that love, it's like the scripture that says, walk in the light while ye have the light. Then it says, then to walk in back of light, may not be worded exactly like that, but it also has a result. The light becomes darkness. So our personal choices can keep us in the love of God. And the same is true. Our personal choices can separate us from the love of God. even though the love of God remains the same, I personally can be separated from the love of God. I want you to consider this thought. If God seems far away, who moved? Well, we know God didn't move. He is the same. But it is me. It would be you. If we separate ourselves from the love of God, we are the ones that move away from it, not God. He will forever be the same. Thank the Lord. So I'd like to give you another thought, which is scriptural. And it says that the people of God is and are a tested and a tried people. We mustn't ever think that getting saved is going to solve every problem and I'm going to be walking a soft road the rest of my life in this world. If I want to live for God, I'm going to have to expect to be tried and tested. And a scripture that goes with this thought is 1 Peter 1:7. And it says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So we are all to expect to have a trial or a test, not only of our faith, but of our choices and our decisions and our determination. Another scripture is 1 Peter 4:12. It says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Maybe in the opposing powers of the voice of Satan, he might be causing us to even question, well, why did God allow that to happen to you? Creating doubts and sometimes fears. But our choice, when we make a choice to receive that atoning blood for the redemption of my soul and you for the redemption of your soul, there should be an understanding because it is made, that choice is made with a price. And we all must know, we all must count the cost. There is a song that says, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. So there's something that I play a part. Yes, Jesus paid the full price for my salvation, but I have to count the cost of receiving that salvation. Another song says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. As we take up our cross daily and follow him, it is our duty to count the cost of it and to pay the price. I have a price to pay and you have a price to pay. And part of that is denying ourselves. I want to speak just a little bit concerning the personal cross as part of our counting the cost. It is our consecration. I remember a number of years ago, I was passing through a great test and trial of my own. I don't want to call it a test of my faith. It was a test to my determination. One day, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is your cross. And when I realized it was my cross, it made it so much easier to bear because then I understood what God was trying to do in my life. Now I want to consider the life of the Apostle Paul. Most of us can recall and understand, remember the life of Paul. He had a very life-changing experience on the road to Damascus. He was stopped with a great light. We're just going to paraphrase a little bit here. He was blinded by the light, and he also heard the voice of Jesus. And in this experience, he learned that he was to be a chosen vessel of God, and that he would be acquainted with much persecution and suffering. I want to say I believe that the life of Paul needs to speak to us today. Consider that Paul never gave up. He never moved away from the love of God. He never doubted the love of God. And his love never failed for God. So those are things that needs to speak to us in our walk with the Lord, our trials, our tests, our burdens, our cares, our fiery trials. Paul was imprisoned and he suffered many things, and eventually he lost his life for the gospel. I want to say that the great benefit of Paul's ministry were those writings that he did while he was in prison and that were saved and printed for you and me to read today. As he wrote the majority of the books of the New Testament. So now let's look at one of his scriptures, which was Romans 8 and 35. And it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And then it gives us some consideration. Shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Paul wrote of the things that he encountered. And it says this, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews, the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And 1 day I was adrift at sea. So those were some of the things that Paul went through. And we're going to consider what his reaction was in this scripture, Acts 20 and 24. "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." I'm going to say that this is the title of our little thought today. That none of these things move me. There's many things that can move you and me and separate us. Is there anything that could separate you from the love of God? The question was, who shall separate? Other interpretations say it a little bit differently. What can separate? Will anything separate you and me from the love of God? I'm wondering if it's possible, I think it is, that we could love someone more than we love God. The scripture indicates that we can make idols of individuals or even things in the earth and prefer those things or prefer individuals above how we prefer the love of God. But on the other side of the coin, what if there is someone that you don't love? What if there is someone that you may feel bitter toward? You may have unforgiveness. Would that separate us from the love of God? We know that it would. Because the word of the Lord says, for us to love one another as he loved us. And as we have quoted in other of the messages, we're to forgive also like he forgives us. So we may not have had the same kind of sufferings as Paul. As the scripture said, would tribulation separate you? Would you be able to say, "Oh, this is too hard. I cannot bear this tribulation. So I move away from the love of God. I grow cool in my experience." You know the scripture. We've used it throughout these messages too, that God's calling for you and me to have a fervent love. And he said over in Revelations that if we are lukewarm, that he would spew us out of his mouth. If I cannot keep my love for God fervent in the midst of tribulation, and then it said distress. I believe that many people today are in distress. They may have just distress of minds. Maybe they have fear of what might be going to happen. The imaginations. Did you know that imaginations were in the Bible? That there were those that had imaginations? And we must be on our guard with imaginations. We must keep crying out to the Lord, help me to cast down these imaginations. Distress can cause imaginations. Persecution, you and I are so blessed. We've not been in a country where we've been persecuted as we have read and heard from other countries. Christians in other countries even today are suffering persecution. And then the word famine comes up. Have you and I ever experienced famine in our life? We haven't. Not to what we hear from other countries where people literally do starve to death. So we've been a blessed people. So probably none of us would say, well, if I had to go through a famine, I don't think it would separate me from the love of God. And then it says nakedness. I can't imagine what that would be in our society today. But I can understand one word here, peril. We are living in perilous times, and the scripture tells us that in the last days we would be in perilous times. You and I may be tested by the perils of our day. And as the day approaches, we need to be on our guard that we not become lukewarm in our love for God or others, because that's how he's going to judge us. And then it said, with the sword, I want to tell you what the sword would do. It would terrify us. We have some thoughts that may be in another message. It says, perfect love casts out fear. As human beings of the earth, we might look around and we might see conditions developing, and we might say, oh, what if this should happen or that should happen? What if the sword does come to me? The sword came to the apostles. All of the apostles gave their lives for the gospel, except John. But this is something that the enemy would like. Even it says that in the last days, men's hearts would be failing them for fear. So we need to guard our emotions when it comes to fearing what might come upon us. But I want to talk about some other things that's very common in our society, in our lives, in our families. And that is, there are things that can happen and we can be separated from the love of God. In our society now, there are broken homes, hurting children. Maybe we carry a burden for someone in our family that their home is broken. And maybe we're carrying a burden for children that we see are being affected by the brokenness in their homes. There's wounded hearts. There's hurting people. And there's many different kinds of offenses. And Jesus even said, for you to remember, it's impossible but that offenses are going to come. And so, throughout the messages we've been bringing in the last few weeks, it seems like that love and forgiveness have been interwoven throughout the messages concerning the love of God. So I want to go on reading now in Romans, the 8th chapter. I'm going to read verse 18. I may not be reading them all in order. It says, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Did you know that you're going to have a mindset in that verse? You're going to have to not allow the sufferings of this present time the things that are affecting you, the things that hurts your heart and burdens you, maybe for your children and maybe for others that are going through difficult places in your family. You and I are going to have to rise above those things, and we're going to have to be able to look above those things and keep our eyes set upon the love of God, and that it, I not be separated from the love of God because this thing is so hurtful. This hurts my heart so much, and I maybe dwell on that hurt a little too much, and it affects the love that I have for God and the love that he has for me, that I'm not really receiving that love as I should. Now I'm going to skip down to verse 31, and it says, what shall we say to these things? Oh, we're going to have an answer when these things rise up and begin to affect us emotionally, and we have a distress of our mind, and then maybe it affects our prayer life, and it affects our faith. And oh, what are we going to say to these things? And here's the answer. If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, we've got to keep that in our mind also. If God is for me, who can be against me? That should be a comforting thought. We go to verse 33 now. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's quite a question, isn't it? But you know, there are people in this world, and we've made this statement in some of the other messages, that there are people that blame God for what has happened to them in their life. They lay the charge to God's elect, and they question it to the point that they feel like, well, God wouldn't let this happen. You know, there's a thought that does God send anybody to hell? And they blame God that God would send anybody to hell. That's not true. Every individual has the right to choose if they want eternal life or if they want eternal damnation. God doesn't send anyone to hell. So there's nothing that we can lay a charge against God's elect. Now to verse 28. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Oh, every one of us have stood on that scripture. Maybe we've even used it when we pray. We've quoted it more times than we can count. And it's always been a comfort that God is still in control. And we know this, it says, that everything that comes to me in our life, do we feel like it at the very moment? Many times we don't feel like it as we're passing through the tribulation or the peril or whatever it is I'm going through, the heartache. We don't see the good. And yet, as he works with us, and I'm thinking of another scripture that Paul said, actually the one where he wanted a thorn to be removed, something that seemed to hinder him. And yet God said no. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then it was the next part that we need to hold on to. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. We may recognize some weak areas in our life, and yet God is saying, I want to strengthen those weak areas. I want to make you strong by the power of my might. That scripture also goes on, and Paul said that he would rejoice then in tribulation and all of these things that could move him away. But his rejoicing kept him in the place of the love of God. So we skip down now to verse 38. And Paul said this. This is Paul's writing. For I am persuaded. That's one thing that in this day and this hour, in this time of life itself, that we need to be persuaded in ourselves. Oh, the enemy is so cruel to come in, maybe in the dark of the night, or the shadows of the evening, in all of this that I have been through, I've struggled a lot of times when the sun starts going down and the light begins to change and the darkness comes on. And I want to tell you, he is a worker in darkness, but we need to be persuaded. We need to be persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That's a whole mouthful. And we may not be able to relate to this whole verse. But I want to tell you, there have been people that lost their faith when they lost their companion. I've heard it with my own ears. The statement was, I buried my faith with my companion. We must not allow the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy us with these hard things that come into our life. God is the God of all comfort for those who have lost their companion. If they turn toward the one that can uphold them and care for them and comfort them, I'm wanting to testify to you that God has done that, not just for me, but for many others. We don't want to turn our back on the love of God in a time when we need him the most. I'm not sure what it means about angels, if it would separate me, principalities, powers. It may be out there in the world. It may be in our civil world, in our government. It may be all around us, or those things that are present, or even the imaginations of the things that could come. And then verse 39 says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And verse 37, skip back up a little bit. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He loves us. And we can conquer all of these things that come into our life that we think we cannot bear. He's promised that he'll not give us more than we're able to bear. At those moments when we feel like we've reached our limit, I can't bear this anymore, God will help us bear it. The scripture says he will make a way for you and me to escape. When we reach those places that I can't bear it any longer, when maybe the enemy is saying, why is God doing this to you? God will step in and he will help us. This is our little message this evening. We trust that you can take it home with you and maybe think about it. Don't let anything separate you from the love of God. Amen.